I want to talk to you tonight about a subject dear to me, and that is the hope that we have in Jesus. To think about hope is to reach toward the future. Hope is desire mixed with expectation, and it is a joyous anticipation. And as we go into a new year, what a great thing for us to reflect upon our hope. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 5, for we're saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what does one hope? For what he sees. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Note that expression, eagerly wait. Christians have a right, have the privilege to eagerly wait toward the future and to, with great anticipation, think about what God has reserved for us. That helps us to deal with our perseverance, to be able to keep on and to be faithful in His service. Perseverance comes about because we have something before us. We have an aim and we have a strength that comes as we visualize the future. As we think about God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, the angels, the other creatures in heaven, and the redeemed of all the ages, and the fact that we can be with them forever and ever, that ought to fill our hearts with joy and anticipation. If you were to add together all of the things that are related to hope in the Bible, far more than we can cover in a single lesson, and you were then to strike a line and add them all up, you could say that all of those are included in Jesus Christ. Every shred of our hope depends upon Him. And the thesis that I wish to develop tonight is that thought that in Jesus Christ is contained all of the hope that we have. Everything depends upon Him. He is our hope. And so Christ, our hope, is the thought I want to develop with you. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you're called, and one hope of your calling. It is a singular hope. It is not a multiple hope. It is not a hope that is contaminated with other things. It is the hope that is contained in the thought of Jesus. All that He did, all that He is doing, all that He will do for us as the future continues, all of those are included in the hope that we have in Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter encourages us to sanctify, to set apart in a very special place the Lord God in our hearts, and to be ready always to give an answer or a defense to everyone who would ask us a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I point out to you that our hope is not an unreasonable thing, that in accordance with all of God's teaching from the beginning creation story that was read to us a few minutes ago, all the way until eternity itself, that God has given His people hope. He has given us that happy anticipation of the future. What would it be like if there were a world without hope? Can you picture a world without hope? The farmer plants in hope of the crop to come. This time of year was a time that my parents, as I grew up, we enjoyed looking at the seed catalogs and thinking about gardens and thinking about, even during bad weather, the time when we could plant again. And so the farmer lives in hope of the future. And Christ is our hope. Everything that we have in the Christian life points us toward the future. Every endurance of every temptation and trial, everything that we have, everything that we anticipate is included in that notion of hope. In Colossians 1, verse 27, Christ is our hope, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so the hope of glory is Jesus Christ in us. This morning we talked about and listened to a lesson as we thought about Jesus Christ as the sum and substance of our life. And the spiritual life is all of our life, is included in the idea of being in Christ and being faithful in Him and hoping in Him. And so Christ is our hope in a wonderful way. And I want us to think about how that works in our life. Hope, as I've mentioned, is desire mixed with expectation. We want those things that God has promised to us, and we fully expect them because of the character of God. God is not playing some kind of cruel game with us so that He promises and then we are not able to get that which we are anticipating. Hope always points us toward the future. We are futuristic in the sense that we're looking forward always to those things that God has prepared for us. This passage that we have just read contains the phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so Jesus Christ abiding in us, in our mind, in our lives, in all that we aim and purpose toward spiritually, that includes that notion of the hope of glory. The Bible describes our hope in three terms. It is good, it is blessed, and it is living in us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 16, now may the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. It's good. It is a wonderful thing to hope. And what would it be like if there were no hope? And I hope that every person here in this audience is enjoying that hope. If you aren't, you need to. Here is a very wonderful thing and a way to live your life, a way to think and to anticipate the future. And that is to have the hope that is in Jesus. Do you have that hope tonight? Are there things that cloud your hope? Are there things that need to be removed so that that hope might be bright in you? In this passage, it is called a good hope by grace. God, by His abundant grace and His mercy to us, has provided this for us. He has laid it out for us so that we can live our lives in anticipation, in hope. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it is called a blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about the hope that has been blessed and sanctioned by God Himself, revealed to us in the ministry of Jesus Christ, how frequently Jesus spoke of heaven, how very often He talked about the future with His disciples, even in the same breath almost as He talked about the terrible persecutions that would come upon them, and how they were to sacrifice their comfort and even their lives, that all of that was worth it because of what lay before them. And so hope was that sustaining feature. The Hebrew writer calls it that which anchors our souls. And Jesus spoke of that frequently during His personal ministry. It is that which was revealed to the apostles in all passages that contain ideas of hope in the New Testament revealed by the Holy Spirit through the apostles feed our hope. To saints in their darkest hours, there was hope. And I think the entire book of Revelation is a book of hope, written in apocryphal language, written so enemies could not understand, but those who knew those symbols and references could. As so that through the terrible persecutions that they were enduring and would endure, that they could have hope and they could have the assurance that there is a great future that awaits those who are faithful. And so God has blessed us and given us hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here is a hope that is not for a day or a year, or that which we shall quickly attain, And it is no more, and there's an emptiness, but rather it is a living hope that will be with us as long as we live. And we die in hope when we are faithful in His service. And so it is a living hope, and that living hope is buttressed by the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Now, there are many false hopes in this world. Those who do not believe, those who are atheists, their great hope is annihilation. It had better be that way, or they are in very big trouble. And so the hope of annihilation, if you can call it hope, no life after death, is believed by some. To be among the 144,000, a literal interpretation of a symbolic number in Revelation, is championed by at least one religious group, and that is their hope, especially the Jewish national or religious hope that hopes that they will be the chosen of God and that the Messiah is yet to come, is a hope that many people cling to. Premillennialism has the hope that the Lord will return and reign for 1,000 years on this earth, not taught in the Scriptures, but believed by many, many people. The impossibility of apostasy is a hope that many live in. Those who are thoroughgoing Calvinists believe that they are saved and that nothing will interfere with that ever, regardless of how they may live. And so these are false hopes. They are hopes that aren't taught in the Scripture. The Christian, though, even now, uses his hope to hope for that which God has promised, and that is God's providential care. The psalmist could say that I have been young, now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It was his experience that those people who live for God were blessed even in this life. Now, one might argue that terrible things happen to Christians. Of course, that is right. And yet, if we are able to look deeply enough, sometimes even those great difficulties in life turn out to be blessings to us. And the Christian believes that there is a hand that guides us, even through the darkest parts of our lives, so that we live our lives under His guiding hand and His providential care. And we hope for that because passages like Hebrews chapter 13, in verses 5 and 6, where the Hebrew writer says to let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And to have God on our side, to be able to say that the Lord is my helper, is indeed a wonderful attestation to the fact that we live under His providential care. And so the Christian wishes for that and works in view of that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. He was speaking there about the necessities of life. And the Christian believes that as a part of his hope that his life will be blessed, that God will provide. And there is much testimony of those who have lived faithfully that bears witness to that great truth. And so God surely will care for us if we are doing His will. When we think about the hope that Christians have even now, we will have the opportunity to care for fellow Christians and others in this world. And that is one of the ways that God's providential care comes to people, is because there are those who care for us. We have the fellowship and the family of Jesus Christ as we are in congregations of those who share our faith, and we care for one another and provide for one another. And that is a great part of the way that God providentially cares for us. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, that's a very rich thought, that he can bless me more than I can imagine. I can imagine some pretty great blessings, can't you? And yet God is able to bless us better than we're able even to imagine, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. One of the ways that he does that is that sometimes our blessings come in disguise. Sometimes we are blessed and we do not realize it. We may even feel that we are under a certain hardship, only later to realize that that was a blessing. That occurred at just the right time in my life to help me to correct my course, to think about those things that are truly important, to help me to discipline my life in some area. And in retrospect, I see it as a blessing. And so God is able to bless beyond our capacity to imagine such blessings. And is that not a wonderful thought? That here is a being who blesses us above all that we are able even to ask or think. We hope, of course, for the resurrection and for immortality, and that desire is universal. Back all the way in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 14, Job asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? All, he says, the days of my hard service, I will wait till that change comes. And so having asked that question, perhaps rhetorically, he then quickly answers that I will wait till that time comes and receive that blessing. Job, in that same chapter in verse 7, could see rebirth in nature. And though he could not see that when a man was buried, he believed that somehow, some way, that he would live again. And in chapter 19, verses 25 and 26, he affirms that. And he says, after the worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And so he believed that he would live again. And so that was a great part of the hope that he had of the resurrection, even in that ancient time. We hope for the resurrection because Christ's resurrection gives us hope. Our hope is built on nothing less, we sing, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we sing, he arose, he arose, hallelujah, he arose. And on you can list the songs in which we affirm the great hope that we have in Jesus. When you think about the hope that we have in Jesus, the resurrection is the heart of our hope. That resurrection mentioned in Colossians 1 verse 18, these words, he is the head of the body of the church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That resurrection has a preeminent champion, a first man in the person of Jesus Christ. The fact that he was raised from the dead is proof positive of our own resurrection. Paul makes that argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and repeatedly affirms the fact that because Jesus arose from the dead, that we too shall live again. And so our hope is based upon the experience of the firstborn and the fact that others will follow. There are in our worship and service to God three grand memorials that emphasize the resurrection. The existence of the Lord's Day. People met in New Testament times on the day that Jesus arose from the dead. That was so important to them. It was a day they marked every week that Jesus arose from the dead on the first day of the week. The Lord's Supper is a living testimony of our hope in the resurrection. We partake of the Lord's Supper until he comes again. And so it is anticipatory of that which will happen in the future. He is coming again, and we celebrate the Lord's Supper until he comes. Baptism is a kind of memorial. As mentioned in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried, Paul says, with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If, he says, we have been planted together in the likeness of his resurrection, we shall be also in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So, God's promises and his guarantees about our hope point us toward the future and the blessings that will be ours. In John chapter 14, Jesus pointed his disciples toward that, even after he had told them of the very difficult times that would come to them, the things that they would suffer, the things they would have to endure, the fact that it would not be easy in this life to be his disciple. And yet he says, as he talked to them about those things, and the fact that soon he would be departing from them, to not be sad about that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the assurance from the lips of Jesus himself assure us of the wonderful hope that we have in Jesus. And so our hope depends upon the promises of God. Our hope, of course, is conditioned upon our faith and obedience. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And so hope has a cleansing, a purifying effect. As we renew our hope, as we think afresh about what we are aiming toward, as we go out into the future, not the just this year, but all of whatever future is before us, that our future depends upon Jesus Christ. And the fact that one day we will be like him. And even now, as we are being reformed into the divine nature, as we try to be like him, as we hold him as the one before us that we seek to imitate in every way, then our hope shines brighter and brighter. Until finally, one day, there is the resurrection, and the job will be completed. The transformation will be complete when finally we are like him because we see him as he is. And so our hope is conditioned upon our acceptance of the great promises that he gives us about our hope and about the future and the gospel itself, which prepares us for that life of service and prepares us to receive the hope that awaits us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, Peter encourages the Christians of his day, and of course us, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. An entrance will be supplied unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in the kingdom now, but there is that everlasting facet, that eternal kingdom that will stand forever and forever when finally we're on the other side. And so we anticipate and we hope toward that. And God says to us through his word that an entrance has been supplied to you abundantly. And so the way is abundant in that it is plain, in that it is revealed to us, in that we have the opportunity to believe and to obey, that we have all of the help that he has provided through his word and through Christian people. And so everything is in our favor to nourish the good hope that we have of life eternal and our entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Our perseverance toward that, our ability to continue in faithful service is assured by that constant hope that we have before us. And so I encourage you and I encourage myself, as we go into 2017, it'll take some practice to say that, as we go into this new year, that we think of our hope. We are so blessed to have the hope in Jesus. I wonder, is that your hope tonight? Are you living in hope tonight? Is there one or more in our audience who does not presently enjoy that hope? You can have that hope. And you can have that hope by faith in Jesus. The belief of who he was, what he was, what he said, and what he taught. The acceptance to say, I believe Jesus. I believe what he has said. And then a willingness to turn from sin, confess Christ, and be baptized. When you are immersed in the waters of baptism, you meet the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are raised to walk in newness of life. And that which you have pictured by your obedience is also the picture of the fact that you one day will be raised with him to live forever and forever. If tonight that's your need, or you are a Christian who needs to renew your commitment to him and find forgiveness of sins, those who are here are very ready and willing to assist you in that.